WITFM.
88.1 Gina Alexandria. 92.5 Greenwood Shreveport.
K223BI.
98.9 Monroe, West Monroe.
K255BT.
100.1 Lake Charles.
K261EB. And KQJOFM.
99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi.
And online at www.kaytfm.com.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to Proclaiming God's Word with Prophetess Patricia J. Williams. Now listen as the prophetess gives you an insightful and spirit-led word from the Lord.
Peace and blessings unto each and every one of you. Thank you for tuning in. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you, we praise you, we give you all the glory which is due your name. Father God, as we assemble together to study your word, we ask for more revelation, knowledge, but most of all, understanding of your word. Even as we continue to decrease, oh God, we ask that you will increase within us. Lord, we thank you for life, health, and strength. God, without you, we can't do nothing, but with you, we can do all things. And for that, we just want to say thank you. And we will be careful to give you all the glory and honor. In the name we pray, amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, could you turn them to the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, the 30th and the 31st verses. Acts 16, 30 and 31st verses. And I will be reading from the New Living Translation. And it reads, "Then he brought them out and asked, 'Sir, what must I do to be saved?' They replied, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household.' May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers and doers of his most holy word." And today's topic is times of shaking. Times of shaking. This passage takes place in Philippi. Paul and Silas have been beaten and imprisoned for casting a demon out of a slave girl. Despite the situation, they are praying and singing at midnight when a great earthquake shakes the prison, opening all the doors and loosening every prisoner's chains. The keeper of the prison, which is the Philippian jailer, assuming the prisoners have fled, an offense punishable by death under Roman law. In other words, if they escaped, they would kill him. And in this passage, he was about to take his own life because he thought that Paul and Silas had escaped. But Paul stopped him, shouting that they are all still here. People of God, this display of integrity and divine power brings the jailer to a state of complete spiritual brokenness. So the question is, in verse 30, it said, "And brought them out and said, 'Sir, what must I do to be saved?'" You see, the jailer's initial fear was physical, the earthquake, and the threat of execution. But however, his question shifts to the spiritual. You see, he recognizes that Paul and Silas possess something and serve someone far greater than his Roman gods or the Roman Empire. So, what they displayed let him know that I want to serve the same God y'all are serving. Can you actually say that your life is living to the potential to where you bring in someone in? They are looking at your life and say, "I want to serve the God that you're serving because I've seen the testimonies. I've seen the blessings. I've seen how God brought you out of this or that." Are you a hindrance or are you a helper to somebody? Think about it. So we're going to look at the word must. What must I do to be saved? This implies a necessity. He isn't asking for an opinion or nothing. He is asking for the essential requirement to escape judgment. He wants to escape the judgment of the Roman gods or the Roman Empire. So to be saved in this context, it refers to being saved from the wrath of God and the penalty of sin. He don't want to sin anymore. He don't want to live the life that he's living. So he's asking, what must I do to be saved? He's seeing what Paul and Silas is. Paul and Silas could have easily escaped, but they didn't. They stayed right there. It's some things that you can easily escape from, but God has you there for a period of time so that someone else can see, so that someone else can witness your healing. They can witness the power of God in your life and through your life. Don't be so quick to get out of a trial, because the test is not only for you, it is for someone else. So we're going to look at the answer in verse 31. It said, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. That means not only you going to be saved, but your whole household is going to be saved. So Paul and Silas provided a concise three-part theology of salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ. The answer isn't believe in a higher power or to be a good person. It specifically identifies a specific person with three specific titles. Lord, and this is recognizing his authority. He's a sovereign God. Jesus, his name as a man, emphasizing his earthly life and sacrifice. Christ, this is his title as the Messiah, the anointed one sent by God. So we're looking at the action, believe on. The King James Version uses believe on rather than just believe that. You see, this distinguishes between the agreement, knowing facts about Jesus, and relational trust, relying on him entirely for one's standing before God. And we're going to look at the promise. And thou shalt be saved. It don't say that you might be saved. You could be saved. It said, and thou shalt be saved. That's a promise. This is presented as absolutely certain. No doubt about it. There are no secondary rituals. There are no probationary periods mentioned in this foundational moment. It is stamped. It is approved. The promise is immediate upon belief. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to look at the last phrase. And thy house. Not only will the jailer be saved, not only will you be saved, but your whole household. This phrase is often debated, but generally understood in two ways. The first way is individual responsibility. It is not a guarantee to that jailer's faith automatically saves his family, but rather that the same invitation is open to his entire household. Once they see that he has a changed life, that he accepted Jesus, that he is living a different life, that's going to draw them to the God that he is serving. Like I said before, is your life a magnet to draw someone to Christ or to push them away from Christ? Think about it. This was a promise to him that not only he would be saved, but his whole household. God even told us, no, not only will he will bless us, he will bless our seed and our seed seed. But catch it, it starts with us. It starts with us individually. So the result is, the verses show that Paul preached to the whole house, and they all believed and were baptized. And it also highlights that the gospel is not just for the individual, but has a transforming effect on the entire family unit. Let me tell you something, people of God. Some people can be a hindrance to why their family can't be saved. Because they see you praising God on Sunday and Bible study on Wednesday, but the rest of the days of the week, you living like the world. So they don't know which way for to take you. Come on here now. Think about it. We can be a hindrance to our own family. So, in summary, Acts 16:30-31 is often called the gospel in a nutshell for those who are seeking salvation. It strips away everything that you done heard. It strips away traditionalism, everything, and is pointing you to have faith in Christ. And it also is sufficient requirement for a restored relationship with God. You cannot get to God without first coming through His Son. You can't do it. Yes, there are going to be times of shaking. It loosens the bands, the chains of habits, fear, spiritual bondage that wouldn't budge during your quiet times. It is a transition from trusting the things of the world to trusting an eternal God. Listen, we may not like times of difficulty and the times of shaking, but as with Paul, they are going to shift you to fulfill your destiny. You cannot stay stagnant. They are not going to stop you. There's going to be a shift in your finances. Listen to the Holy Ghost well. There's going to be a shifting in your career, in your health, in your marriage, in the lives of your children, in your family. Out of the shaking, new doors are going to open, new opportunities are going to be presented, and new relationships are going to form. Yes, thank you, Holy Ghost. Change of depression, I hear you, Lord. Change of lack and of struggle. Chains of addiction that have held you back are about to be unfastened. Listen, don't complain about the shaking. Mm-mm. Embrace the shaking. It's serving a purpose. God is using it to thrust you where you couldn't go without it. Let us pray. Father, thank you that you are all powerful. You are all knowing. You are the creator of the universe. And Lord, we know that you are with us just as you were with Paul and Silas. In the difficult times that we don't know how a situation is going to turn out, help us to offer you a sacrifice of praise, God. Father God, we believe you will work out your plans for our lives. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen, amen. I have an announcement. I need you to mark your calendars. October the 10th. 2026 at 9 a.m. Kingdom Women's Second Annual Women's Conference. Men, you are also invited. It is once again October the 10th, 2026, 9 a.m. Theme, Fresh Wind. Philippians 3:10. It will be held at Providence Family Ministries, 1350 Enterprise Road, Alexandria, Louisiana. Host Pastor Bobby Gordon. The speakers are Minister Corey Gibson of Rebirth Ministry, Minister Doris Green of First Evergreen Baptist Church, Pastor Geneva Robeson of Open Door Worldwide Ministry of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and yours truly, myself. Listen, come and experience a mighty move of God. Remember, I love you. Yes, I do. And God does too. And I always know when you're down to nothing that God is up to something. And if you need to contact me, my number is 318 206.